The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome back once again, everybody. Rise and shine, 7:30. Didn't get a chance to speak to you last week because the deacons had the homily. And you know what? That's a good thing that I didn't get a chance to speak to you last week, because last week, my emotions were really raw. And the chance of me misspeaking or saying something I regret would have been very, very high. But I get to speak to you this week, and it's a good thing, and if for no other reason, then there is a message contained in these readings that we all need to hear. Now, this week I want to do something a little bit different. This week I want to be a little bit more personal with you here than I usually am. Would you be surprised to know that when I get up here to give a homily, I actually strive not to use the word I? Because, you know, you didn't come here to hear about me, right? You came here to hear about the Lord. But this week I want to be a little bit more personal with you because, well, I just think the times demand it. So this past month, for me, has been one of the worst months of my entire life. You know, and I didn't even see it coming. And it started with all the Cardinal McCarrick news. And, you know, then you thought that was bad. And then they gave you the Pennsylvania grand jury news. You know, I couldn't even stand to, I still can't, I try to read it, I can't read it. Just can't read it. Because it's just so distressing. I can't express to you the sadness, the sense of powerlessness that I feel. The shame, the frustration, just, I can't express to you in words. This has just been one of the worst months of my entire life. But you know what's interesting? Let me draw your attention to this. The darker the headlines about the church became, the clearer from our readings became where the light is coming from. So I mentioned this before. We're in this special time now, where there's this period of 5 weeks where every single week we're hearing about the Blessed Sacrament. Now, you think about the divine providence that's at work. Of all the weeks, of all the months, of all, we only do this once every 3 years, right? And of all the times in which we could hear about that, now is the time in which these readings are read. And we need this message. We badly need this message. Because, you know, we're living in a time in which just pretty much every institution that you've ever come to hope in or count on is falling apart before your eyes. And it's this terrible, time of stress. I've never known anything like this in my life. And you know, in past generations, when things were falling apart, what did people do? They turned to the church, right? They came to the church as their refuge. Well, now you come to the church, and the church has fallen apart too. And you get people, and they're so bewildered. And then somewhere in the depths of their soul, they're thinking, is there any place left that I can turn to as a refuge? And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm certain that this is God's message to all of us. And that is that there is. There's one refuge left in the world that nothing any of us do can ever destroy. That refuge is Jesus Christ, present in the Blessed Sacrament. That is what our Lord wants us to know. About a year ago, it was last October actually, I took a trip to Death Valley, California. And some of you know Death Valley is one of the hottest places on the surface of the earth. And do you know that at the hottest time of the year, on the hottest hour of the day and in the direct sunlight, the surface temperature in Death Valley can exceed 200 degrees. And there's even warning signs that are like, you know, watch out, you can melt your shoes if you're not careful. But you go down to the bottom of Death Valley and you look around and you find these little green bushes growing, thriving in the most hostile environment in the entire world. And you look at these little things, and they're only like half the size of this pulpit, these little green bushes. And you know why they thrive? You know why? Because they've got a tap root that's 160 feet long. It's more than half a football field. They thrive in the harshest environment because they draw their nourishment and sustenance from a very, very deep place. And you and I need to learn how to do the exact same thing. That's why our Lord's been talking about this for the past 5 weeks. That's why we've been hearing this. And today, you know, at the end of all of it, he turns to his apostles and he says, I need you to make a decision. Are you with me or not? And everything that I've said about the Blessed Sacrament and has gotten these crowds so upset, decide. He's laying down an ultimatum. Are you going to follow me or are you going to go back to your former way of life? And it's an echo of what we heard in the first reading, right? From Joshua. Here's Joshua speaking to all the 12 tribes of Israel at Shechem, and they've just finished 40 years of wandering in the desert. And now they're about to enter into the promised land. And Joshua says, listen, people, before we go in to the place of promise, I need you all to make a decision. Are you going to follow the Lord and his covenant? And by that, I mean all of it. Or not, because if you're not, just right now, go away and start living like all the other pagan lands around us. You know what's interesting about that? You know the name Joshua and the name Jesus are the exact same name in Hebrew? Yeshua, it's the exact same name. And you know what's interesting about Shechem? Shechem was the place where God made his promise to Abraham. He said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Recapitulation of the whole Bible at that point. But you know, we all face that same ultimatum ultimately across the course of our lives. It's like the Lord says to us, look, are you with me or not? And by with me, I mean all the way, because you can't do this halfway. You're either with me, and by that I mean you're going to be 100% a saint, or you're not going to be a saint at all. Make up your mind. Either be with me and live by my commandments, or just go back to the way you used to be living. That's a hard enough question to try to answer when times are good. But man, that question is really, really hard to answer when times are bad. So you know what I want to do with you here this morning? I want to give you four helpful thoughts that help that helped me to say yes to the Lord no matter what's going on the theory that, you know, if they help me, maybe they'll help you, okay? So here's the first one. It comes from the gospel that we just heard, and it's what St. Peter says at the end. He turns to the Lord and he says, Lord, where else could I possibly go? You want to know if I'm going to leave you? Lord, where else could I possibly go? Look, there's times in life when you want to throw in the towel. Maybe you want to quit a job. Maybe you want to quit a sports team. Maybe you want to quit the school, whatever it might be. The times when you want to throw in the towel. Before you throw in the towel, just be sure you got a backup plan. Know where you're going to go next. And so when I think about this question of, like, you know, where am I going to find the truth that is able to be brave and strong no matter how difficult it is to face? Where in the world am I going to find love? And by love, I mean sacrifice, right? Real self-paying, costing love. Where am I going to find that in the world? I keep coming back to what St. Peter said. Lord, there's no place else to go. Because you know what? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to go live my life by the values of Hollywood? Maybe I should give that a try. Or how about Wall Street? Maybe I can live my life by the values of Wall Street. Or Capitol Hill, right? Think I should live my life by the values of Capitol Hill? Think you're going to find any truth up there? Think you're going to find any love up there? Don't get your hopes up. Okay? I keep coming back to the same thing. Not in hedonism or escapism or materialism or in ambition or in anything else. The false gods of the spirit of our age, the only place your soul is at rest. I keep saying this, Lord, where else could I possibly go? But that idea doesn't stand alone. You know, it goes hand in hand with the second thing that really helps me, and it's this. It's the realization that I have seen the greatness of God. I've seen it. I've experienced it, as I'm sure many of you have too. And here's one thing you know if you've ever seen the greatness of God. It changes your whole life, and there's no going back. There's no pretending after you have experienced the greatness of God that you haven't seen it. I mean, this is why I became a priest. Once I knew who God really was, I wanted to spend the rest of my life trying to tell other people about it. That's the only thing that you can possibly realize. It started back when I was in fifth grade. And they showed me this movie in school about the life of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And I'd never seen any goodness in all my life like that. And I thought, whatever it is she's doing, it works. And I want it too. And then I began to realize that all the saints are like that. I mean, every saint is just a different reflection of who Jesus Christ is. Like, the saints are like the moon, and God is like the sun. And when you see that beauty in another person, and you realize that's actually Jesus Christ himself, there's no going back from that. And you can never deny it, no matter how bad things get. And then you meet saints in the making. They're on their way. You know, like about 10 years ago, I was going through this deep crisis in my life. And divine providence placed into my life a religious sister, one of Mother Teresa's sisters, it turns out, who is a friend of God. And you know, I talked to this woman, and it was only for like 10 minutes. But you know, it was like no one else you've ever spoken with. This wasn't just like a sparkling personality or a nice demeanor. It was like she wasn't of this world. And it all comes together where you realize that those who strive to give God 100% of their heart, 100% of their time, begin to look like our Lord himself. And once you've experienced that, there's no turning back, and it can help you through anything. You know, the third thing that helps me, it's more of a negative formulation. And it's this. It helps me to remember that from the beginning of the church, the worst enemies of the church have been inside the church. It's always been like that. And you know, you even get a hint of that right here in this gospel. And St. John says, Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. Do you know what the word "the beginning" means in the Gospel of John? Anybody know how the Gospel of John starts? Very first lines, it says, in the beginning was the Word. When John says the beginning, he means Genesis chapter 1,
verse 1, all right? He means from before all of creation. Jesus knew the ones who would betray him, and yet he still pressed forward. You know what that tells me? That tells me the same thing that I learned on Easter Sunday. The message that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is his promise and his pledge that he will never allow evil to have the last word. No matter how dark things get, he always will bring an even greater good about as a consequence. You know, it comforts me to know that Jesus himself picked Judas. Back in college, there was a friend of mine, and you know, his little mission in life was to get me to stop being a Catholic. That's what he wanted to do. And you know, he wanted to tell me all about all the bad popes. And so he sat me down and he told me all about all the bad popes. And when he was finished, I started telling him about bad popes that he'd never even heard of. And he said to me, "Well, you're tearing at us. How can you be a Catholic with that kind of bad leadership?" And I said, "Because I never made a profession of faith in a pope. I step forward, you know, I don't receive the body of a cardinal or the blood of a bishop. I made my profession of faith in Jesus Christ, who works through the church, even though it's been betrayed from within from the very beginning. That doesn't mean that you're not scandalized. It doesn't mean that you're not sad. But it does mean that you are not unprepared. It helps me." And you know, the last thing is very, very simple. I never forget that Jesus Christ is God come down to earth. You know, he tells people about the Eucharist here, and they're upset, and they have a reason to be upset. And we'll talk about that next time. Too much to get into now. And he says, "Does that shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? You know, don't forget, I'm no ordinary man." I never forget that. And to know that in his will is our peace. And I don't want anything other than that will ever in my life. And only when I surrender myself to him completely does my heart ever come to rest. And that, brothers and sisters, is why the Eucharist is your last and only refuge. This is Jesus Christ himself. Not a figure, not a symbol. It's actually him under the appearance of a piece of bread. God come down to earth. The sustenance and the nourishment of everybody who's ever been his closest friend, of all of the saints, and a refuge that no corruption, that no betrayal can ever destroy. You know, St. Peter turns to our Lord here in the Gospel and he says, "Jesus, you know what? I don't understand what you're talking about. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. You know what? I don't know what you mean. However, I know who you are, and that is why I believe what you say." We need to do the exact same thing. We need to turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't understand any of this. However, I know who you are, and because of that, I believe. Because of that, I believe in you." And starting next week now, we go back to regular cycle of readings. But you know what? Let's never forget this. The refuge that will get you through absolutely anything in life is Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Trust in him and hope in him, because those who do will never hope in vain. Amen.